Do you think about today that God allows you to represent Him? We are singing how great is our God. We talk about Him as our Creator, as our Sustainer, as our Redeemer, as our Savior. And He chooses you and me to be His representatives. Do we do a good job? What grade would you give yourself this week as being an ambassador for Christ? You spoke the things of Christ this week to people in every situation. How many of you guys ever had a job or currently have a job that deals with contracts? You have negotiations and contracts. Who has, raise your hand if you have a contractual type of work that you do, that you, there's a contract. And there's sometimes in contracts, time is of the essence. That means something in South Carolina, doesn't it? That means this date is the draw. That's the date, right? It's got to get done. So we talk about contracts and covenants, and have you ever been a part of a contract where someone backed out of the contract? You ever had that? Anybody ever had that happen to you? What's your first thing that happens when someone backs out of the contract? What's your emotions and your feelings when they back out? Especially if it's binding. My first thing is I'm going to get a lawyer and we're going to push this thing through, right? Because someone violated the deal. And so we're that way. We want people to be trustworthy, especially when we get down to a contract. When we've committed something of us, of our people, our representatives, or our finances, if we committed ourselves and they've committed themselves, we have an expectation they're going to continue to do what they said to do, right? You ever bought a car and it didn't have everything that it was promised to you? Oh, we didn't have that. Or the warranty, it doesn't really cover that, right? That's only $9,000, right? We've been there and we feel betrayed, crossed up. We were mad, we're angry, saying, but you said, you promised, you told me, right? That's how we feel. And God feels the same way. Did you know that? God makes contracts, but better than contracts, God makes covenant. Go to your notes, if you would, first. I want you to see this in your notes, and if you didn't have a bulletin, raise your hand. The notes are actually in the bulletin for you to assist you in your Bible studies and as your walk at work and other places. But go to the back of the bulletin, you'll see the notes there. And it gave you a definition of a covenant, and this week is better covenant, because the whole series is Jesus is better. Angels, church, I want you to respond back, Jesus is better. Try this, watch this. Angels are great, but Moses was pretty awesome, but Abraham is our father, Father Abraham, but the old covenant was good, but because Jesus is the new covenant, you're going to see, and we can continue to go down the list of things. Priests, the Old Testament priests were good, but Jesus is better. So the whole series is, and the writer of Hebrews sets us up for this, that Jesus is supreme. Whatever you want to list, Jesus is better. Jesus is more or is supreme. Let's read the first paragraph there in your bulletin. A covenant is a solemn promise between parties to carry out certain commitments. In the Bible, covenants are testaments. You have a new covenant, Old Testament, New Testament. Testaments are oath-bound, relationship-forming commitments that reveal God's redemptive plan to restoring humanity. God's covenant stretching from Noahic to the new covenant in Christ, each one demonstrates God's unwavering faithfulness and desire for relationship with His people. Unlike modern contracts, which are easily broken, biblical covenants were enduring and royal, rooted in loyal love. Though human faithfulness may fail, God remains perfectly faithful to His covenant promises. Did you know that? God is forever faithful. We'll read that passage there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in just a moment. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You today that You are forever faithful. Lord, we don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder, is God still there? The sun obeys You. It comes up as You told it to. The moon obeys You. We see it as You told it. Lord, we understand orbit and all the different things that we want to explain away, saying, well, it didn't come up today. It actually is just there. You told it to rule over the day, the sunshine, and You told the moon to rule over the night. You told the animals to make same kinds, and You told trees to reproduce. And Lord, we thank You today that all of creation is still obeying You. And Lord, we're sorry today that the greatest of Your creation, those that were made in Your image, choose to disobey You often. That's us as humans. Help us, Lord, in our weakness. Since Adam and Eve sinned, we are born sinners. And Lord, You came to save sinners from their sin. Thank You for redemption. Thank You for this passage of Scripture today. And thank You for the covenant that You made, Lord, with us. Even though we know that it's first for the Jew and then for the Gentile, We know what the gospel is for and how it comes about, but equally, Lord, it's available to us today if we would simply listen. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Hey, could we go back over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse 8? Turn your Bibles over there just for a second and see. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. If you have a copy of God's word, that is incredible, because you get to smell it, touch it, and see what God says in your very own language. Paul writing to Timothy, he writes this as a remembrance. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, or my good news, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure what? What does your Bible say? All things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in whom? Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That is correct. Let's continue. This is the faithful saying. Say that to me. This is the faithful saying. Let's pull from the word what the faithful saying is. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains what, church? Faithful. He cannot deny himself. Amen? And amen. Listen, he gives you an opportunity even there in that word, in that faithful saying. Listen, Christ must be first. Christ must have a priority in our lives. You say, well, tomorrow, or I'm not into that Jesus stuff. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You're not going to heaven if you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The picture this morning of Cana being baptized was a picture of that. Jesus' death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. This truth, listen, it's exclusive. Jesus said, I am the only way to get to heaven. That offends most of the world. People are upset about that. How can you say so? And we say, we didn't say so. He said so. We're just quoting God. And when we quote God, listen, I think we're in very good company, don't you think? It might stress you out. It might freak you out. It might stress you to the max that you can't even think straight. But listen, if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. The end. Amen? According to the word of God. Well, we want to go back to and see this passage that we're going to back to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7 again, verse 20. We're continuing to talk about Jesus, the great high priest, the order of Melchizedek. And we've had tons of fun of conversations with Melchizedek. There's multiple ways of saying his name. We'll say Melchizedek. But there's even this week I heard someone say, well, I would think Melchizedek was a space alien. He's not a space alien. There are no space aliens as far as I know, and I don't believe there's anything referenced in Scripture. There's demonic activity that can appear, all those strange shapes, but our military does a lot of things that that you see. I used to have a top secret clearance and see stuff that I didn't believe was even real until I seen it. So there's some stuff going on that we don't know about, but it's happening here on earth. It's mankind with mankind. I want you to look see at this. The Bible's talking about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a permanent forever priest. Now, he's going to talk about the earthly, still comparing the law. He's still saying, listen, the Mosaic law designed this. I was going to look up the scriptures and let you see. If you go back and look at Moses, guess what it says about Moses? Moses, your servant, is what? Dead. Moses died. Abraham, guess what happened to Abraham? He's gone. He's dead. Guess what happened to Aaron, the very first priest of the law? He died. And so the comparison, if we could actually compare this better covenant, the old covenant, it could not save you. Here's what the law did. The law was given to reveal your sin, right? Not to remove your sin. The Jewish person, the Jewish Hebrew, could never have their sins removed. They always had their sins covered. Every time an animal was killed, the priest had to sacrifice for himself first. He had to go in and offer sacrifices for his sinful self. Then, only then, could he go in and offer sacrifice for the people. He was a sinful man. They were sinful people. But their sins were never forgiven. Their sins were always covered. Covered by the blood of lambs, or covered by the blood of turtle doves, or covered by the blood of calves, or covered by the blood of goats. Never taken away. Jesus has brought this new covenant, we'll see as we read, and he has removed our sins, not covered our sins. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. He takes them away, never ever again to bring those up to you and say, aha, you remember back when you were 17. You remember what you used to do. You remember how you spoke. The Lord does not do that. He says, you're justified in his eyes. You've been redeemed and forgiven. Isn't that a good news? Only those who know what they used to do and talk about it, right, know how good a news that is. We know who we are and we know who we were. And we really know who we will be until Jesus comes and takes us home. We're rotten to the core. Did y'all know Amazing Grace used to say, oh, what worm, not wretch. We use the word wretch. No one knows what a wretch is. That's why I guess we use the word wretch. It's an old English word. But the word was replaced with the word worm. Amazing Grace used to say, oh, what a worm I am. What does a worm do? Right? It's across the ground. It's dragging dirt everywhere it goes. And it's dirty. It's filthy and it's vile. That's who you and I really are until the Lord Jesus Christ saves our souls. And then guess what he does? He makes you a child of God. He brings you to a place of status in this world. Listen, yes, you're a servant, but you're a servant of the Most High God. You've been bought with a price. And now, as the writer of Hebrews is going to tell the Hebrews, because the Hebrew people, they're being saved. They're coming to know Jesus Christ, but they keep looking over at their friends. And their friends are still visiting the temple. And they're like, man, you remember the days we used to, that was our, we got to go to the temple and we made the sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews is like, yes, that's true. He doesn't tell them the temple's going to be destroyed shortly. But he says, listen, there's a new covenant. Let's read what he says. Verse 20. And inasmuch as, verse 20, chapter 7, verse 20, and inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath. We'll explain it in a moment. Verse 21, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him. This is going back again in this short passage of Scripture. You'll have this quoted twice. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, all capitalized, the greatest name of God, has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest, how long, church? Forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. That's where the sermon title comes from. Also, verse 23, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, that's Jesus, because he continues, how long, church? Forever, has a what, church? Unchangeable priesthood. He cannot change. Verse 25, therefore, since he cannot change, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than what? The heavens. He's outside of space and time here. Verse 27, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Verse 28, for the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Now, before we continue, was Jesus Christ always with God? Has Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ God? He's always been God. So how long has Jesus Christ, or we'd call him in the Trinity, Godhead, the Son of God, how long has the Son of God existed? Eternity past to eternity future. Romans 13:8, we'll get there in just a moment, in a few weeks. And it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He got the name Jesus there when the angel gave his name, when Gabriel gave his name, said he shall be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Guess what? I'm one of his people today, and I've been saved from my sins. And if you've given your heart and life to Christ, fully surrender your life to Christ, listen, you've been saved from your sins. Well, I want you to go to your notes and see this. God's new and final covenant was established with a solemn oath. while Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. Jesus was appointed with one, for God declared, "The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever." Well, how did Aaron? Aaron was the very first priest under the law. Moses' brother Aaron. You can go back and read. You can read in the first five books of the Bible, especially in Leviticus. You can understand a little bit more about the law. Moses was chosen by God. Aaron, his brother, became the spokesperson because Moses complained that he wasn't very articulate. He couldn't speak before Pharaoh in proper sentences or ever. He stuttered. There's a lot of things we scholars think that he had some issues with his mouth. And so God said, "Okay, I'm going to let Aaron speak for you, but you're going to share the credit with Aaron," if you go back and read the scripture. And then Aaron becomes the very first priest. Well, how did these other priests continue to be priests? You had to trace your lineage back to Grandpa Aaron and Levi. You became a priest just because you existed. Just because you existed in that family lineage, like our family is the Smiths. If you were a Smith, you had access to the Smith priesthood, if there was no Smith priesthood, but the Levites. Because you were born. And you couldn't have certain defects. There were defects the priest could not have. So there were some restrictions even within the family. But for the most part, you become a priest just because you were born into it. And you quit being a priest just because you had a funeral. Right? You died. That's how you started, because it was just born into it. No oath, no promise. I swear to be a good priest. Not before God. It was you just become a priest because you are in that lineage of Aaron and Levi. Just because. Your tribe made you priest. No oaths, no promises, but Jesus comes on the scene, and God himself, Lord Most High, says with an oath, he shall be a priest. How long? Forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Well, we look and see, listen, that comes from Psalm 110. And listen, there were priests. If you go back and look at priests, and we can even do it modern, because we think of these priests, and we're like, we can't get an image of how this is supposed to work. Today, pastors, let me take a sidestep. Today, pastors, what is an expectation for pastors? What should you should expect from pastors? Perfection? No, we're not perfect. We're sinful men standing before you proclaiming a holy God, right? We're messengers of Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors of reconciliation. We are as Christians, but especially pastors called to lead out. Have you ever read any article, seen any article online, in the papers, anywhere, that a pastor has done something extremely evil? Yes or no? We have. And what do we think and what would we say? We saw through the Catholic Church and then the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church. It doesn't matter. What have we seen? Men who were called or supposed to be called by God doing very vile, sinful things, and they got caught. And is it happening today? Potentially, yes. Right? We only find out usually when it comes out in the news. But the expectation of a pastor should be, hey, you're held to a higher standard. 1 Timothy chapter 3 has a list of how you should be in society. Now, none of us are truly, truly qualified, because we're like, we can't live up to that expectation. It's almost like looking at the law. But we make an effort to live that way. We put everything in. Listen, we consider the results, the outcomes. Do pastors ever lose their temper? Who said, oh, yeah, that was a double. Yes, listen, we're sinful beings, but we're called by God to be the men of God God's called us to be. So there's an expectation of a pastor. Even if we have a different list up here, you would say, who should actually be leading out in a more proper way, the pastor or an average Christian? The answer is both, right? Right? It should be us. But there's an expectation that the pastor should be held to a higher standard. Even James says that, right? Because James says, if you're going to be a teacher, this is Bible study teachers too, now it bleeds on into. If you're going to be a teacher of the Word of God, you're held to what? Twice as much, to a double standard. All right, so these priests, these were sinful men. They were terrible priests. If you go back and read some of the priests, they were evil. They were terrible. They stole from God. They burned incense when they weren't supposed to. Of course, Aaron's sons, they die quickly. But you go through and look at Eli's sons, they served at the temple. It was just awful of the men who represented God in the days past. They did vile and awful things. Even, I told you a couple weeks ago, the priesthood of Aaron, that was supposed to show us and reveal to us that, listen, we're sinners, tried to kill the priest who lives forever, Jesus Christ. The tribe of Levi, priest, tried to kill the tribe of Judah, everlasting priest. Well, and they actually, the first ones actually bore witness, false witness, that he had blasphemed the word of God, or the name of God. Let's continue in your notes. I want you to see this. Jesus came to establish a new and better covenant sealed by his own blood, not the blood of goats and bulls, but his own blood. As he declared, this covenant was in my blood shed on the cross for forgiveness of sins and the redemption of the world. Through his sacrificial death, Jesus not only took away the sins of humanity, but also ratified this new covenant between God and man. Because it is founded on God's unchangeable oath in Christ's eternal priesthood, Jesus has become the sure and eternal guarantee of this better covenant, never to be replaced or annulled. Jesus, listen, he's not going to pass away. Jesus does not have takebacks. He doesn't switch. He's not some guy who sells you something or some lady who sells you something and then takes it away. He's a God. He is God who keeps his word. It's a one and done covenant, and it lasts forever. That's how you and I are saved today. That's why we have the ability to go before God. The Bible says he intercedes for us, but you're going to find out here, he's also interceding for someone else. Watch this. He intercedes for believers. When you pray, Lord, we prayed this morning. We know there's a hurricane or a tropical storm or whatever it is today. I haven't seen the news that's forming off the coast. We know people who live on the coast or that area. We've been affected last year by Hurricane Helene. What do? We invited people this morning on Facebook, come to church and listen, let's pray together and thank God, but also let's beg his mercies for our people. Because guess when people are going to show up to church? If God lets a next hurricane rip through Charleston and tear up through the South Carolina, what's going to happen the following Sunday? Woe is me. And everybody's going, why did God let this happen? Did y'all see that a three-year-old little girl? Or we always have this, we have these stories. And listen, don't worry about coming to the church and asking God or coming together as a group of Christians or just with community and say, God, would you show us mercies? Would you move that storm? Listen, I believe God's moved a bunch of storms because people's prayed a bunch of prayers in times past. But after a big event, after 9/11, we go back and look at that. We celebrated that or had ceremonies for that. What happened the week after? The day after, really. People started gathering. Churches were full. COVID, everybody scattered. And what happened after COVID? No one came back, right? So we're getting more and more like the world. We have more fear. We have less care. Because, listen, our relationship with Jesus Christ, really, sometimes I believe, I think we question even, is it really real? I said some words. I was baptized. But I don't walk it out. We have separated the secular from the spiritual. Sunday morning, when we go to church, if we go to church, that's the spiritual. I'll give God that time. But let me go to the restaurant immediately following church. You can ask some of the waitresses that are, ask them, how bad is it when church members come in or Christians come in and order? Christians have the worst reputation of anybody because they'll pray before their meal and then they'll complain about their meal the whole time. And won't free this or free that or extra this or extra that. Pastors are the worst. I am embarrassed to go out to eat with most pastors. They'll gripe through the whole meal. And one pastor I was with, we were at a quick place. I won't tell you the restaurant, but it was a restaurant. And he's like, we've been there together before. He's looking. He wants this added, take this away and put this. I said, you have to excuse him. He just got out of prison. So I just stepped back and sat back and waited for my order. He looks at me like, I've not been in prison, right? I was like, order then. Just order number one. That's the same as number two. It's just cut up differently. Listen, just order. Why make somebody's life so hard? So we have a reputation, do we not? Ask your waitress if you go out to eat today. Ask them, are Christians don't tip well? They don't even tithe well. God don't even get tipped half the time, right? We all tip God this morning when we take up the offering in the back. Listen, tithe's only 10%. Tipping's 15% to 18%, right? We'll tithe our stomachs today. I'm just telling you, listen, of the order of Melchizedek, we go back and look. Abraham gave a tenth. That's where we're talking about the tithe in case you missed last week's sermon and the week before. Abraham gave 10% of everything he had to Melchizedek. We, in turn, go tipping. You know, that's what we need to change in church. We're going to change it officially. Would you start tipping at church? Whatever you make, tip out of your check. Amen? Think how many global missions we could do if every church tipped. Because you'll tithe to your stomach, right? You'll go pay $50 to $70 for Outback at lunch. That's tithe off $700. Pastor, now you're messing around. Get back to the sermon. All right, back to the sermon. Here we go. I want you to see Abraham gave to the greater. He couldn't help but give more to God. That's what he was doing. He was giving to the greater. And what did God do? Say, aha, now I've got 10%. I'm going to suck you dry for the other 90. Is that what God did? No, listen, even in America at 250 Town Creek Road, we still sing, Father Abraham had many sons. Go to every church that's singing little preschool songs, the old preschool songs, they're still singing Father Abraham today because God blessed him over and abundant more than he could ever take and stand. Abraham is still getting credit in heaven because he was faithful. He found God to be faithful first, and he says, well, this is a faithful God. He's called me, so I'm going to in return be faithful to him. I'm going to give to God my life. It wasn't just the 10%. Just so you know, we don't want your money. If you think Down Creek's hard up for your money, please give to the Lord at another church. Don't give it to a radio station. Don't give it to, unless it's the international radio stations that's getting the word out overseas. But give to a local church and watch God bless your back. You give, listen, not to get, but when you give, listen, he cannot, it's his nature, it's his character to give back to you. Give God a shovel load, he's going to dump a dump truck on you. When you're faithful in the little things, guess what he'll do? Church, if you read your Bible, what happens? If you're faithful in little things, what's he going to do? He's going to give you more and more and more, and your whole life is going to be blessed. You're like, what's going on in my life? It's just because of the faithfulness of God. Let's continue. Remember the new covenant. I gave you the scriptures there for you to look up later. Under the old system, there were many priests because death prevented them from continuing in office, right? Because they died, their funeral stopped their priesthood, their following. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood is permanent and unchanging. Therefore, he is able to save completely and forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede on their behalf. The Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for you and me. If you're a Christian today, I want you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for you. When you pray for mercies there at the coast, when you pray for your neighbor, when you pray for healing, the Lord, listen, there's an interceding for us that's happening before the Father. How does it happen? And I don't fully understand it, but it's happening. But this intercession, I want you to see, I didn't put it in your notes, I want you to see who is God, the Lord Jesus Christ, interceding for. Go back and look and see. Let's read it again. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless. Go back to 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. And I wrote in my Bible because some country preacher I heard said, he's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's not in your Bible, but that's just what I heard say. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for whom? Them, and them are they who are coming to Christ. He's making intercession even for those people that are lost. God has opened the door of opportunity that all may come in and be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ has made intercession for you. Why would you turn away the God, the creator of heaven and earth? Why would you turn away the high priest who loves you so much? He wants you to come and know him personally. He loves you. And he wants to have a personal love relationship with you. A covenant that he guarantees the covenant forever. He's never going to die. He's never going to break the covenant. He's the king of heaven. He cannot lie. We've read that before in Hebrews. So God makes a promise. Everyone who comes to the name, listen, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, that's everyone, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have what? Everlasting or eternal life. That's the gift he wants you and I to have from him today. Jesus is the kind of high priest, look at your notes, we need. Holy, and he's blameless and unstained by sin. Isn't that good news? Because people, listen, we'll let each other down left and right, do we not? Have you ever been let down by someone? We all have. We've let each other down. And lastly, you'll see here, set apart from sinners, he has been, and will be, exalted to the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike the former high priest, he does not need to offer daily sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. Jesus offered himself once for all as the perfect sacrifice for sin. the law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath. Jesus has been made the perfect high priest. How long, church? Are you tired of saying forever? Are we tired of saying eternal or eternity? Listen, don't you feel great this morning that there's a God who loves you, a God who created you, a God who knows your pain, your sufferings, a God who knows everything that you're going through today? Whether you're close to him or far from him, you feel connected or distant, he's making intercession for you. One, if you're lost, that you might have a gateway into heaven through the Father, through him. Two, if you're a Christian, he makes intercession so that you can actually have life and have it more abundant. That's his words, not mine. Aren't you excited about that? Aren't you excited about that? The abundant life, abundant living, is not lots of money, even though it could represent some cash, some other stuff. It's not stuff that you have. It's who has you and who you have. Christ has you and you in Christ. Listen, the Creator, he tells us don't worry. Because what did he tell us not to worry? Who are the worriers in the room? Raise your hand. I don't see my mother here today. I'm going to call her out. She must be on vacation. I'm going to call her out. She's a worry wart. She goes, I know I shouldn't worry, but, right? Don't worry. And Jesus says, take a walk. Look at the birds of the air. And jokers aren't working for nothing. All they do is cruise around and eat. But I started thinking about the birds of the air. He did this to provide seed. The robins eat seed. What's the seagull eat? Everything, right? How about a pelican that's cruising? He's a bird of the air. What's he eat? He's cruising around like, down at us, or just looking around like this. Today, he's down there cruising. He goes, sea bass. Let's go get him, right? And he goes, God provides for him. He says, are you not much greater than they? What's the answer? In our culture, kids are taught that animals are the same as humans. We're just the greater animal. We're not the greater animal. We're mammals, yes. But listen, we were made, Genesis 1:26, in the image of God. You're special, uniquely made. And then listen, Christ came to die for you. So not only did he create you, but he came later. He died on the cross for our sins that we might be redeemed, bought back. He owns you, and then he bought you back through his resurrection. Today we serve a living God. If you feel far from him, it's because you are, listen, I'm telling you, if you feel far from God, there's a couple things. I can diagnose you, and we'll close in service today. If you don't feel like you have a connection with God, you might not be saved. You might not know him. You might have religion. You might have said something. You might have even been baptized, joined a church. But unless you have that walk it out relationship with God, listen, he wants you to know him. It's a very personal and intimate relationship. You could be lost today if you don't have that relationship with God. Or, listen, if you're a Christian, you know that you know that you know that you're saved. And you're like, I just feel like I'm distant from God. Can I tell you, he's never moved. It's you who have moved. And it's you who need to repent. And it's you who need to come back to God. He never leaves. He promised when you give your heart and life to him, he told his disciples, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But listen, he'll let you take a walk, but he'll correct you eventually. Well, God's mean to me. He's not mean. God loves you, but God will, he will judge you and put you back in line, will he not? And then if you won't correct yourself, he'll do a self-correction. He'll bring you on to heaven. Go back and read the scriptures for yourself. God wants you to walk in a love relationship with him. Are you not reading the word of God? When you read the word of God and memorize it, listen, hide his word in your heart that you won't what? Sin against God. When you don't read the word of God, guess what you're prone to do? Sin against God. And when you sin against God, you say, I feel like I'm so far away from God. I feel like I'm so far away from God. You are because you're walking, but your relationship can never change. I've told you my kids can paint themselves purple, move to the other side of the world, say, I don't know that man. But they, if they do a DNA sample, guess what they're going to find out? They're Smiths from the beginning, right? They are. They can't run away in relationship. They can run away in fellowship, but they can't run away in relationship. So I'll challenge you today. Here's my challenge to you. Here's the hard part of the sermon. Yes, we've written about an Old Testament priesthood and reading about this actually New Testament and this new promise that God has. Here's the challenge. Just ask God, God, if you're really real, would you make this known to me if you're not a Christian? Would you make yourself known to me? Guess what he says? I can tell you ahead of time. It's a cheat sheet. Yes. God, I feel distance from you today. I don't fully understand this priesthood. Would you help me understand, and would you help me walk in this relationship that I sing about, this relationship that the pastor's preaching about, this relationship that your word talks about? Would you help me walk in that relationship? And guess what the answer is? Here's the cheat sheet again. Yes. He loves you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to experience life abundantly today. Will you ask him? Will you commit yourself to him and see? Just try it for a week. If it's not good in a week, throw it away. Can't get away from God, right? Where is God? Everywhere. How long? All the time. We're always in his presence. He loves you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, even this, the priesthood and all the stuff that we read and we, Lord, say awesome. Lord, if we're not careful, we as Christians, all we want to do is fight over who Melchizedek is. We don't care about the process. We don't even care about the relationship. We want to be right. And Father, all we need to look to is it's not about the name. It's about the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, at your name, the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Everyone on the earth, in heaven, and under the earth. Lord, today, if there's someone here, don't let them wait until the day of judgment. Lord, let them come today and live out this life and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, and be made new. It's so fresh and so awesome that even children can understand this truth. So complicated that theologians can't even explain it fully. You're an awesome God. We love you, and we give this time, this day to you. We praise you in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.